And like I've talked to Zach before, I mean, he always saw him. He saw where he wanted to be way before he got there. He saw himself playing on the tour. He knew he could do it back when he was not making any money on the mini tours. You know, and so I think that's a big, big thing. And I think today kids that are growing up, they think they're going to get their swing to a certain point or their game to a certain point, then they're going to have success, you know, and they're going to, you know, let their games do it. But they gotta see it. You got to believe it before it happens.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero of the Tour Coach Podcast. Recently, I was invited once again up to the Gurus of Golf, which is an unbelievable experience and an unbelievable event hosted by Rob Aikens, one of the great teachers in the game. And all of that is done to raise money for Le Bonheur Children's Hospital up in Memphis. It's an amazing day and an amazing event. This year, Rob wanted to do something a little different, and on the evening before, have some of the great names in teaching and coaching that are part of this. The Randy Smiths, the Chuck Cooks, could go on and on. Tom Ness, who recently left us, used to come to this event. But Rob, realizing that as we all get older, there's this great generation of teachers that we should take advantage of and share some of their insights and their stories. And Rob did just that. And we're going to share them with you also. So sit back, relax, and if you love golf instruction and you want to learn, you're going to love these collections of interviews and stories with Rob Aikens from the Gurus of Golf in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, well, welcome again. I've got two dear friends of mine, known forever. And one's Mike Perpich from Atlanta, Georgia. And the other is Mike Bender. Both of them world famous and taught so many people in so many different things.
Eminem.
That's here we are. So I'll start with you, Mike. We met at Augusta a long, long time ago, but, you know, the first person I really knew of you really being involved with was Jody Mudd, and he was just such a phenomenal player. And I don't know, what age were you when you were teaching him?
Well, my dad and his dad were roommates in college.
I didn't know that.
They went to Morehead State University in Kentucky. They both played football and basketball. And my dad played baseball. He was three lettermen.
What happened to you, man?
No kidding. I just got JV. So anyway, my dad became a head football coach in Louisville. And so he needed a line coach, a defensive coach. Mr. Mudd was in Louisville, and he hired him.
Amazing.
So our two families, like, grew up together. So... I mean, I was at their house when Jody was brought home from being born. So
unbelievable. I had no idea. I knew there was a connection, but I didn't know it was like that.
So, Jody's brother, Eddie Mudd, also won the National Pub Links as Jody did.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just all grew up together. And so then Jody went to Georgia Southern. And I became the head pro at Forest Heights at Georgia Southern, but I mean, we grew up together, and Jody and I loved to learn about the golf swing, and kind of really got on it when Jody played in, I think, the Son of Hannah, and he played with Bobby Clampett.
Okay.
And he came back, and he goes, "I've seen it." I go, "Really?" He goes, I've seen it. So Miss Mudd, she found out about a week ago, this guy's got the golf machine. So Miss Mudd finds out how to get the books. So she calls over my house. My mom drops me off. We open these books up. And we're like we're scratching our
head. Oh, absolutely.
We're scratching
our head.
But
Ben's actually teaching.
Clampett.
He's teaching Clampett.
When Jody saw him, he said, "I've seen it," you know, in person. So we always loved to learn about the golf swing.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be around him, and he took me places I wouldn't be able to get in by myself. So it was awesome.
Well, he was a phenomenal player in his own right. He really was. Jody was something else. It was very early on in my career, but I mean, he won down there at Champions. It was a big deal. I mean, that was the tour championship.
Yeah.
Like the first year they ever had it, I think. and he won the tour championship at Champions down there in Houston.
Right.
And that was a big deal, you know.
They won the Players that year,
yeah,
and the tour championship, yeah, in the same year.
Unbelievable. Just what a year, you know. So phenomenal. And then on beyond that, I know that you've been so involved with junior golf in Atlanta. I mean, you put your heart and soul behind that. And so tell me a little bit about that, how the junior golf in Atlanta has kind of changed from the very beginning to where it is today.
Well, I think, you know, you're in your area, you know, we were talking earlier that somebody plays good in a tournament and they go, well, who's your kid go see?
Right.
And that's kind of how the word spreads, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I was, you know, working with players and they were doing better, winning, getting scholarships. You know, some sure were turning pro and playing Korn Ferry or got the tour card or whatever. So I think it just, you know, it takes time and you work patience with them and patience, and, you know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know you've helped so many, mentored so many kids. You're such a Southern gentleman. I've always respected that about you. You're, you know, I think a teacher professional would be shocked, kind of follow, because you're so humble about it, but you're brilliant what you do. So
I appreciate
you so much,
yes, sir,
for being a part of this.
Thank you.
And so it's been great. So, Mike, I guess I could ask you 1,000 questions, but you've been very successful with a lot of people. But Zach Johnson, you know, that was just a pretty phenomenal thing. It was, I met him, he did a charity thing for Stan Utley in Missouri. You may have been teaching him at that time, or it was early in that relationship, but, and it was kind of weird how his, Damon Green went to seminary. So I had known him since I was like 15. And so early on the thing, not even if you know the story, I told Damon, I said, you know, this little kid, Zach Johnson, I think he's going to be a player, man. I think he's going to be, and he had Scott Hoke, who was the money machine. I mean, got
the ATM.
I mean, top 20 every week, right? And so anyway, but hard to work for. Everybody knew that was, it was a hard, tough job. But it paid well.
Yeah.
And Scott got hurt and wasn't getting out there. So I said, Damon, please. And he went and caddied for Zach 1 week. And he said, I don't know, I just didn't see it, you know? And I said, man, I'm telling you, you're making a big mistake. And so about 2 or 3 weeks later, Zach tried some other people, and Damon said, okay, I'm gonna give it one more shot.
Well, you're mostly right. There's always two sides.
Absolutely.
Stuff. But the funny part about it, that I think about it, was Scott Hoke, when Damon told Scott that he was gonna stop caddying for him and caddy for Zach. Scott says, why in the world would you, I'm a top 10 machine. Why in the world would you give up that to go?
Absolutely.
And he says, I'm making $2 million a year. And he says, because I think Zach's going to make $4 million. And so that's how.
It worked out. It did work out. I mean, they were forced to be reckoned with. With three of y'all, you know, y'all went to heights that really nobody
saw. I'll tell you, what's interesting is when I played the tour, there wasn't teachers out there every week. There wasn't teachers on the tour. David Ledbetter was just becoming known. Nick Price, Dennis Watson, some of these guys were kind of starting to play well and kind of touting Ledbetter's name and so forth. So, you know, so it's really, yeah, I mean, now you go to a tour event and there might be 50 teachers in a week, right?
Yeah,
and so there's so many more options than people have. And so one of the things that I've kind of been proud of, and it's just a testament to Zach more than me, but I've been with him his whole career.
Right.
So we're going on 25 years, which is pretty rare this day.
Absolutely.
Because students, they just jump ship. I mean, you know, you think the tour guys are more kind of regimented and set in their ways, but not so much anymore, just because of all the options.
Well, I think it's the same thing Mark Brooks is talking about. I saw that in Zach, even though I wasn't his teacher, we weren't good friends, but just every time I was around him, he was just a very organized, down there. It's kind of like what you see with Scotty talking about, you know, he was a real kid and And so you could just kind of see he was organized. He didn't have any bad habits. It was like, even though he was handicapped, maybe not being the biggest, tallest, strongest guy, he just had that bulldog fight and that heart, and he just wasn't going to get in his own way. And it was just amazing. The job you did with him was amazing.
Well, and you know, when you have somebody special, when, you know, if you beat them at darts or basketball, I mean, you have to play really good to beat him at anything.
Right.
And he's such a competitor. And, you know, you don't necessarily see that on the outside, but he hates to lose. And so, you know, that competitiveness and really had a belief in himself from day one. And, you know, the people he came out with when he first came to see me, he was with four other guys that were playing the mini tours, and they, you know, they kind of faded away. But he, like you said, he kept going and kept going, and then he finally broke through. And
it seems like that almost it's so important. I mean, obviously technique and all this stuff, but having that fight and that spirit and having that organization, what it takes to make it, I feel like that's really what separates the people that are so successful.
It's tough to coach that or teach that.
That's right.
You know,
it's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the swing, I mean, you can get people to swing better, hit the ball better, but it's that the intangibles of their mental mind
and their self-belief and everything.
Yeah, you know, yeah. They have, you know, like I've talked to Zach before, I mean, he saw where he wanted to be way before he got there. Right. He saw himself playing on the tour. He knew he could do it back when he was not making any money on the mini tours.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's a big, big thing. And I think today kids that are growing up, they think they're going to get their swing to a certain point or their game to a certain point, and then they're going to have success, you know, and they're going to, you know, let their games do it. But they got to see it. They got to believe it before it happens.
Ah, completely.
Said a mouthful there.
And they say you can't win until you believe it, but you can't believe it till you win. No, you better believe it before it's going to happen, because if you don't believe, it's never going to happen, in my opinion. So
yeah,
I think that's so, so very important. So any other things that you see, like, I mean, because you've been at this thing for a long, long time. You obviously teach legged players, but you travel a lot. So in golf, what do you think? What's changed over the last 20 years?
Well, I think the thing is, you know, I think it's come up several times, maybe in some of these podcasts, but it's getting people to do what they need to do, you know, and the feel versus the real thing.
Right.
And so I think the general public in terms of golfers is uneducated as to what a good lesson is, and they're uneducated as to what it really takes. And so, for instance, I had a lesson and I asked the guy, I said, we had a good lesson, right? And he said, yeah. I said, you know what you need to do? And he said, yes. And you feel pretty good. Yeah. I said, how long do you think this is going to take you to where, you know, it's really ingrained in there and you'll have it on the golf course? And he kind of looks at me, kind of scratches his head, and he says, you know, probably have that in a couple of weeks. I'll have that down in a couple of weeks. You know, and so the mentality out there is that, you know,
it's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic. And so if it doesn't happen in a couple of weeks,
then you didn't do a good job.
It's either it's my fault or they go, well, I just can't do what that guy wants me to do.
Right.
And so, you know, so I think one of the things that we got to do a better job of is educating the masses as to what it takes, because if they know, they'll stick with us longer, they'll stay in it for the long run, and they'll look at the whole thing as a developmental program as opposed to a tip that's they're gonna use the next day or whatever.
Today, Penny Hardaway, I saw him. We've been friends forever. I met him at this tournament, the FedEx Energy Classic. He got paired with David Thompson. It was a shootout, two-man alternate shot. Payne Stewart, Robert Gomez, the best players at the event. And they actually, little David Gossie, who hadn't gone to college yet, and Penny, who had only been playing for 2 years, they got made it all the way to 18 tee box. They had eliminated seven teams. Yeah. And when Penny went to swing, Payne Stewart threw the club in between his legs, and he flared it right in the stands, Penny did. And he said, there's no way I'm going to let a kid and a basketball player win this thing in front of everybody. And so they made bogey and lost. But what brought me the story was Penny came to me the next week. You know, he saw David do so well. He's like, yeah, I want lessons. So we spent a couple of weeks, and he's such an athlete. He said, I give him about three lessons. How long? I said, how long what, Penny? I said, how long is it going to take me? I want to be a scratch player. I said, Penny, I mean, you can hit it and everything, but I'm going to be honest, 3 years. And he said, 3 years? Are you crazy? Nothing takes me 3 years. I said, Vinny, you got to learn how to chip and putt and bunker and think, and there's a lot to this. So he quit me.
Yeah.
He's done. Sure.
He quit me. So he, about 2 years later, he said, you know, the best I ever played was after those lessons. He said, man, I want to start back taking lessons.
Yeah.
So this time we got about 6 months into it. He said, how long? Yeah. I said, Penny, I told you, you've been at 6 months. We got 2.5 more years. He goes, oh, no, 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 we started 2 years ago. No, that doesn't count.
Right.
And so he quit me again. Of course, he was going back and forth. And so now we're 15, 20 years later. He comes out, he's taking lessons, and he's finally starting to take lessons after lesson. He's not playing. I said, damn, I wish I'd just listened to you a long time ago. I've just done the 3 years. So it brings me to that point, you know. He's such a great Olive. Everybody expects, and somehow people think that they're supposed to be able to do what a tour player can do.
Right.
And it's like, you can't drive a race car like Richard Petty. You can't box like Muhammad Ali. You can't play golf. I mean, basketball with Shaquille O'Neal. And you're not going to be able to hit a golf ball like these guys. I mean, they're world-class athletes. They're freaks. But somehow the average guy thinks he's supposed to be able to do that. So that's, it's really weird in our particular sport. They would never try to play college basketball or football, but they actually think they're supposed to be able to hit it like a guy that's playing on television.
And that's also the beauty of their sport, though, because every once in a while they do hit one that's good.
Right.
Like a hole in one, or they hole a chip, or they hole a 30 foot putt. Then, you know, I'll never slam dunk in basketball.
Right.
So it gives them hope.
I gotcha. Well, I can't say thanks enough for all the support you've given me over the years with our Lebonner project here. And I just really appreciate you both.
Thank you.
I'm in the
air. We can't thank you enough for hosting and inviting us every year.
It's been a great run. And we're just getting started. It's going to keep going. So thanks so much for your support.